you.
Hello, this is Kim Turner.
Hi, Kim. Marcus Lau.
Hi.
Good morning, this is Judge Lee.
Good morning, Judge Lee.
Let's take Ian.
Hi, Jose. Okay. This, for those that just called in, as indicated, this is the Revenue and Expense Subcommittee meeting of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. This meeting is an open meeting, and it is being recorded at this time. I'm going to go down and take a roll call, official roll call. Sherry Carter, Judge Harmon, Judge Johnson, Judge Lee,
present.
Judge Maragonda, he was with us earlier. Judge Maragonda is still with us, right? Or maybe he's like me and disconnects himself.
No, I'm still here, Marcia.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Judge Smith, Rebecca Fleming, Jose, you were with us, correct?
That's correct.
John
here.
Landry. Stephen Nash.
Here.
Kim Turner.
Here.
And David Yamasaki.
Here.
All right. We do have a quorum, and first I will indicate as that we have received a letter regarding public comment. The letter was received on March 31st. I believe Stephen forwarded it to all of us for our review. It is a letter from the Superior Court of the County of Lake, signed by the presiding judge, Stephen Hedstrom, and the CEO, Krista Levere. Attached to that letter was also a letter dated March 20th, 2015, to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, addressing the same issues which relate to Sustained and V3. That letter is signed by the Sustained Justice Edition Consortium, signed by Debbie Norrie, Rhonda Geisen, Lee Kirby, Gil Solorio, Cindy Van Schooten, Tammy Grimm, Carrie Keenan, Krista Levere, and Bonnie Thomas. And again, I think that attachment has been provided to all of you. Stephen Ching, were there other letters of public comment that I've missed?
I don't believe so. We didn't receive any, at least as of this morning.
Thank you. So we have two items on the agenda this morning on this meeting, and thank you for making yourselves available. First, let's go back, if you don't mind, and review the minutes from our March 10 and 11 meeting. They are located in the packet of materials that Stephen Chang sent to all of us, starting at page 248. And if you would review those for purposes of approval of those minutes, if anyone has any comments regarding proposed changes or corrections, please speak up. Otherwise, at the appropriate time, when someone's ready, please make the motion.
This is Jose Guillen. I make a motion that they be approved.
This is Judge Lee. I'll second the motion.
Any further comment regarding the minutes? Not hearing any, all in favor of adopting the minutes of March 10 and 11?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The minutes are adopted. I think I also neglected to reference the fact that Sacramento Superior Court, through their presiding judge, Judge Height, also submitted a letter for purposes of public comment this morning. So I'm sorry I left that out. So the other item that we have on our agenda this morning relates to our discussion during our meeting as it relates to V3, case management system, as well as the intermediate case management systems, also known as SUSTAIN. Since our last meeting, during which there was a vote to require these courts to pay a percentage or a greater percentage towards these tech initiatives, The Judicial Council Technology Committee has met and discussed this, our recommendation. Judge Earle was present at that meeting. Judge Herman is on the line, as is Mark Deussman. Given the meeting, I think it's important that we as a group get updated and understand what the Judicial Council Technology Committee, how they view this recommendation as well. So with that, I'm going to ask Judge Earle, I think you're on the phone with us, if you wouldn't mind giving us your perception and your analysis of the meeting with Judicial Council Technology.
I will. Thank you, Judge Slough. So I did participate in their conference call meeting, which was last Thursday. It was an open meeting. And the discussion there was limited to V3. They have not yet tackled the issue regarding the ICMS case management system. But they went through a discussion of the process they've engaged in over the last year in terms of their analysis, and Judge Herman, I think, is better suited than I to talk about that, so I'll defer to him on that. But they did have a draft recommendation that was ultimately not the recommendation that they landed on, but the draft recommendation was as follows, that after a period of 4 years, starting on July 1st, 2015, and ending June 30th, 2019, branch funding for the V3 case management system will stop. That portion of their recommendation was approved by the technology committee at their meeting last week. The other part of that recommendation was that there will be no change to the current source of V3 funding during these 4 years. Funding will continue to come from the trial court trust fund or improvement and modernization fund. In attending that meeting, I went through the IMF fund condition statement with them, including the projected expenditures for fiscal years 15-16 and 16-17. I explained to them the deficit that we are facing both in the next couple fiscal years. Probably not new to them, but I explained to them that given the materials that we'd receive, expenses for IT costs from the IMF were projected to increase both next year and the year after, and there would actually be cost increases to both V3 and ICMS. I asked the technology committee, my request of them was to defer action on the funding portion of their recommendation, that portion that said there would not be any change to the source of funding during the 4 years. I asked that they defer that until and such time as the budget committee could participate in that discussion and provide feedback. Ultimately, they voted to approve the recommendation as amended, and so the approval of the recommendation is as follows, that there would be no change to the current source of V3 funding in the first fiscal year 15-16, and that, a working group comprised of members of the Judicial Council Technology Committee and Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee will work together on the source of funding for the remaining 3 years. So that is the recommendation that they adopted at their meeting. That recommendation will be presented to the Judicial Council at their meeting on April 17th. Judge Herman will be presenting that. So I'm happy to take any questions on my participation in that discussion, or I can refer back to Judge Slough or Judge Herman to provide feedback on the thought process behind their recommendation and the analysis the Council Technology Committee conducted.
So why don't we, if Judge Herman, it might make sense if you want to go up next, and then if anybody has questions of either you or Judge Earle, we'll be able to ask you questions. Judge Herman, do you mind speaking to what their recommendation was, your analysis, and your thought process? And also, you know, I just want to say I think it's great that the recommendation is to have budget and tech combined together to tackle this really important issue. So, Judge Herman?
Well, I totally agree, Judge Lee. I think it is important that we coordinate in terms of looking at outcomes relative to both V3 and the interim case management systems. You know, at the JCTC level, we're very aware of the pressures on the IMF fund in terms of dealing with a fund that's in structural deficit. And at the council level, we really have to address that issue and see what we can do to get relief to the IMF. And part of the stress on the IMF, as we all know, the trial courts have been in financial distress over the last 5 years. And part of what we've done, what you've done, and I kudos to your committee for taking on just an incredibly tough issue and making tough decisions. Much appreciated your work and the work of the subcommittee as well as Judge Earl and Trial Court Budget Advisory. You know, we really do look to Budget Advisory as an advisory committee to give the council the input that we need to go forward in terms of making budgeting decisions. So we don't take recommendations either of the subcommittee or of the committee as a whole lightly in terms of our process and our analysis. The pressure on IMF and technology is about 50%, roughly, as we all know, of the programming that's supported by IMF. And the pressure in terms of trying to give some relief, budget relief to the trial courts has been moving programs such as LANWAN and Phoenix and V3 over to IMF from the trial court trust fund, which has been a budget bump to the trial courts over the last couple of years. Again, just to give you a thumbnail, we did, with Judge Earl's input and with your input, we did change what our original recommendation was going to be so that we could go forward, coordinate. And basically, our rationale up front for the final recommendation that we're going to make to the council is to give the V3 courts, and we didn't address the sustained courts, but I'd hope also the sustained courts, at least 1 year of breathing room on this so that we can come up with perhaps some other solutions in the 3 out years. Partially because it's pretty late in the budget year. I mean, I know I'm PJ in my own court to be able to absorb a significant new unanticipated cost go forward. Part of our decision making, and we did look at a number of alternatives, including the alternatives that Revenue and Expenditures has looked at. We looked at the idea of a sort of graduated increase in the cost of the individual in picking up costs by the individual V3 courts, three of whom already contribute significantly through their Schedule Cs to the V3 costs. We looked at, just incremental increases, 10% a year, sort of modeling a WAFA model or greater percentages. We also looked at four different allocation models, allocating pro rata, irrespective of the size of the courts, allocating by caseload, allocating by station, by license, or allocating by percentage of budget, and we didn't really conclude what would be the most equitable way to allocate, although by percentage of budget seemed to sort of jump out. The real pressure and problem that we face, and this is true both with Sustain and with V3, is that until we get all of the courts off of either the interim case management support or off of support for V3, we really don't realize the ultimate savings that we need to reach. That is, just taking V3 as an example, we've got four courts on that program. Assuming that the courts don't go off one at a time, we could be in the position of a number of years out having only one court on the system. But since these are enterprise support systems with fixed costs, we'd essentially be in the position, for example, of the V3 courts of maybe paying $6 million for one court. And then the question becomes, if you're going to do some sort of cost allocation model, are you going to increase the allocation percentage to the other courts as one court or two courts or three courts drops off, or are we going to end up back paying for costs in the interim. So that was one of the factors that we looked at, and we just ultimately concluded that it was big picture counterproductive to say to the V3 courts, you need to get off of V3 and replace it with another case management system, but at the same time that you're trying to fund that transition, you also have to pick up increased costing in terms of operations and maintenance of the system. In other words, it's kind of a double whammy is the way we looked at it. And in terms of the more detailed analysis that we went through, we recognized the investments of the V3 courts in the statewide case management system. I mean, I think there's a lot of thought of, well, you know, our court, and I would include my court, we're paying for our own case management system, but the V3 courts didn't pay for theirs. I'll get to some numbers in terms of what they actually did invest over and above a significant amount of sweat equity, basically for the benefit of the branch, because as we know, the branch plan up until 2012 was to have a enterprise statewide case management system with essentially the V2 and V3 courts being the early adopters. So we recognize the investment that they'd made to that case management systems. Also, they're looking at their budget numbers, their lack of funds to deploy a new civil case management system. Three of the courts, Orange, Sacramento, and San Diego, are negatively impacted by WAFM, and that negative impact is increasing on an annual basis. And again, it was the feeling that it was counterproductive to expect the courts to pick up operational and maintenance for V3 at the same time as expending funds to transition to a case management system. Three of the courts also have major projects underway to replace other failing case management systems that they've propped up over time in expectation that they would be V4 adopters. And I think San Luis Obispo can be sympathetic to that particular issue. And overall, the recommendation to assist the V3 courts in bridging the gap from V3 to statewide case management strategy under our new branch technology plan. Specific impacts and equity issues, and we looked at this as a balancing of the equities. Again, these courts are courts that are their budgets are exacerbated by WAFM, and reductions are at 15% in 14-15, and they will go to 30% in fiscal year 15-16. As with all of the courts, they have limited staff resources, I think the average being down about 25% in terms of their staffing. That's committed to supporting their ongoing operations as well as their involvement in current projects to replace their failing case management systems. Like the rest of the courts, they're stuck with the 1% cap on reserves, which prevents them from any significant planning for capital expenditures. An additional fact is that Orange County, which really has been a resource technology-wise for all of the courts over time, has a pending gap analysis, and they are a Tyler court, as are 24 other courts in the state, which covers about 75% of the state's will cover about 75% of the state's caseload. They are performing a gap analysis because it turns out that the Tyler Tech product for civil cases is not as robust or as effective as the current V3 system with its ELF extension that Orange County enjoys. So the outcome of that gap analysis will enable Tyler to bring its product up to the level of the current V3 system, and that will be a benefit to 24 other courts who are Tyler courts. Just to give you some feedback that we received, and we spent a substantial amount of time working with the V3 courts after we were directed by the Judicial Council to look towards increasing the amount of operational cost that the V3 courts would pay for. A number of meetings, numerous meetings with the courts, as well as surveys and getting what their financial positions were and what their plans were. And I'm not sure how much interface budget advisory or the Revenue Expenditures Subcommittee has had with the V3 courts directly. But let me just point out some of the points that are made by those courts. quote, beginning in 2005, seven courts volunteered to assist the branch in developing a new case management system. The new system was intended to serve the entire branch, not just the seven courts, and the cost of developing and maintaining the case management system was assumed to be funded from trial court funding sources before allocation to the trial courts. During the development and testing of the branch-wide case management system, these seven courts provided substantial additional resources, both operations and IT resources, to help develop and test V2, V3, and V4 prototypes. And as those of you that may have been involved with the CCMS efforts know, these courts did contribute subject matter expertise to the development of V4, even though they were only operating on V3. The people assisting were highly skilled subject matter experts, and these resources were from each court's base allocations, not from trial court funding. And then the courts also point out that in the audit by the California State Auditor of the CCMS development, the auditor found, quote, the seven superior courts that have implemented the criminal V2 and civil V3 systems reported to us that they had spent nearly $44 million in staffing, equipment, and consulting costs to test, deploy, and support the interim systems beyond the roughly $49 million that they paid directly to the development vendor to assist in the development of prototypes. Even this $44 million is likely to be understated because one superior court, the Superior Court of San Diego, also reported that in fiscal years 5 and 6 and 6 and 7, between 120 and 130 of its staff worked part-time to full-time on implementation of the civil system, but they were unable to quantify the costs. And according to the V3 courts, although the council provided administrative grants to assist the V3 courts in their costs to support case CCMS development, it was quite nominal compared to the costs spent by the courts to support CCMS development, as noted above. So from the V3 court perspective, they made significant investments in the case management system that was at that time intended to benefit all of the courts. In terms of go forward, within the next year before we revisit this issue jointly with Budget Advisory Committee, we are working on plans to get these courts transitioned off of V3, hopefully sooner than the four-year deadline that we've set, with the idea of seeking funding from various sources, BCP and otherwise, to support that effort, as well as to have the courts work together cooperatively, which they're already doing in terms of case management replacement. Their most recent discussions have involved a collaborative venture with Tyler Technologies to transition to Tyler. And during the next couple of months, they will be building a business case that's similar to the business case that Fresno prepared in relation to the retirement of V2 to, again, transition the courts off of the system so that ultimately we'll be able to reap the benefit of defunding V3 entirely as soon as possible. So that's my report, and I'd be delighted to answer any questions that the subcommittee might have.
So this is Marcia Slough. Thank you, Judge Herman. So we kind of have three basic separate issues, as I see it, and it might even be more. So if people think it's into more issues, fine. We have the V3 issue, which Judge Herman just went through, and as I understand it, the recommendation that came out of Judicial Council Technology Committee was to have no charge to those V3 courts for this coming fiscal year and then take a relook at it in the out years along with the other efforts to address the issue. So that's one of our components we need to address today. The second one is the ICMS courts. And the third one is the Revenue and Subcommittee vote, as I recall it, was to freeze the allocations as it relates to V3 and I think ICMS as well to the 14-15 fiscal year. In other words, no increases into 15-16. So if we kind of parse the issues into those three overarching categories, please feel free to ask Judge Herman or Judge Earle or Mark Deussman, who's with us as well, any questions.
Marcia, this is Judge Herman.
Uh-huh.
I thought we had recommended a 20% one-time adjustment.
That was the record. You're absolutely correct. That was the recommendation that came out of our March 10 and 11 meetings.
Okay.
And so, but given the fact that after those meetings, Judge Herman had his Judicial Council Technology Committee meeting and Judge Earle participated in that, I think it's probably important that we, as a group, step back and relook at that issue and see if we want to make any revisions to that recommendation.
Right, and my recollection is that's about 1.138 million of the 11 million we're trying to cut.
Stephen, is that about right on the numbers? Stephen Chang?
Yes, the reduction amounts was about 1.3. Yes, for both of the programs.
Great.
And Jim Herman, as I recall, and I'm not sure about this, so just help me out. As I recall, the recommended cuts were about $12 million, and the projected deficit is about $11 million. Am I remembering that right?
That's about right in broad terms. In other words, if we as a group decide to go back and look at this issue, particularly given the update from Judge Earle and Judge Herman, it still leaves us in the black. Barely, but it leaves us in the black. We have accomplished what our task was.
Are you saying if we restore the 1.138 million that we cut, we would still be in the black?
Stephen Chang, can you answer that more directly than me? My impression is yes, but you would know better.
All right, so there's a little bit of complexity. So just one thing, I believe that the Judicial Council's Technology Committee is not recommending that those V3 and sustained courts not pay anything. They will continue to pay the share of the trial court trust fund based on the current council policy on statewide administrative infrastructure initiatives. And so I believe the amount for V3 is going to be about $843,000. And then for ICMS, it's going to be V3 is $625,000, sustained $843,000. In terms of the impact on the Improvement and Modernization Fund, the IMF, if you were to keep the cost at the 14-15 level, and then if you were to continue to recommend the reductions that you had recommended to the advisory committee, then the fund balance would be about positive 300,000, I believe. But if you were to use the estimates that the IT office had is currently projecting in terms of what the total cost would be for in 15-16, then there would be a deficit of about 900,000 in the IMF.
Stephen, this is Judge Paragondic. Can you refer us exactly to the attachments that will give us the breakdown of those numbers?
Yes. So why don't you do this on page 48 of your current materials.
Right. I'm looking at that.
So
that's what I'm looking at.
Yes.
Right.
So if you look at page 47, line 32, column B1,
yeah,
that's the $1.132 million reduction to the 14-15 level for V3 of $5.658 million, and
yeah,
then for ICMS it's page 48, line 34.
And where do you come down with that $300,000 positive if we were to restore that money?
That's as compared to the 14-15 level. I think that's what Stephen was. This is Lotko. Stephen was trying to explain that there's two ways to look at it. One of the guiding principles was for the subcommittee: no increases from the prior year, from 14-15 to 15-16. And so you made your adjustments from the 14-15 level. Assuming that we do not take the reductions that were calculated that day, you'd have the positive. Stephen's saying, though, that there were projected cost increases that were not reflected or not recognized. And so if you not only not take the reduction, but also take the suggested 15-16 allocation level, then we go from that positive 300,000 to the negative because they were projecting cost increases. Those are two separate things. One is the reduction and one is recognizing the cost increases. But again, the cost increases were not approved at the time because of the principles of no programming cost increases for any.
And so that's why I kind of broke it into three different issues. The V3 increase to the proposed V3 increase to the courts. The 14-15 freeze, no increase. I think it's for 14-15 for V3, it was $5.6 million. For next fiscal year, they are projecting $6.2 million if the increases are authorized. And then, of course, the third issue is ICMS.
Judge Slaw, this is Stephen.
Uh-huh.
So I have a question for Zlatko and Stephen Chang. You know, as we cite these fund balance numbers, whether it's plus 300,000 or minus 900,000, can you speak to the certainty that you have related to the revenues that those assumptions are based on?
Stephen, there's no certainty in any revenue projection.
For specifically the 50-50 split, and when you look at the revenue decline that we've had over the last several years, I'm not even sure. Here we are in the last quarter now of the year, so you have a lot of information that's not reflected here. How good are your assumptions at this point on the 50-50 split? And if the rate of decline in the 50-50 split is closer to what it's been the last couple of years, doesn't that stand that we potentially aren't going to have 300,000 or minus 900,000, but potentially could be even worse?
There's always that potential. I mean, I can have Stephen speak to what recent data we have in terms of the revenue projection. But there's always variability in any revenue projection. And yes, the decline from 12-13 was almost $32 million down to 13-14, $26.9 million down to our estimated $23.4 million. Both the current year and the budget years could be less, could be higher, we don't know. But again, there's also issues of any potential disencumbrances from prior years as well as any minor program savings that we were not able to capture that could, to some extent, mitigate it a bit. But it is a fair question to ask.
I'm having a hard time understanding the math, I guess. I mean, we cut just a little over $11 million from INF, and right now we're being told if we restore $1.138 million that we cut, we're still going to be in the positive. I am not seeing that in here, so I'm trying to figure out where the numbers keep changing to get us back in the positive if we restore $1.138 million that we cut.
Good question. And Stephen, can you
sure.
walk her through that? Walk us
sure.
through that?
Absolutely. So if you go to page 45, and if you look at column E, row 21, you'll see that the fund balance is $1.7 million. And at that time, that reflected the decisions made by the Revenue Expenditure Subcommittee at their meeting, which there's a pending item, the $650,000 related to the other post-employee benefits. That was resolved at the advisory committee meeting. So this assumed that there was no funding for OPEB, which was actually the action taken by the advisory committee. So that's consistent. So that won't change the fund balance. Now, if you actually don't impose any reductions, keep the V3 and ICMS at the 14-15 levels, you're going to expend 1.3 million more. So 400,000. 1.7 million less 1.3 million gets you 400,000, right? If you're going to spend 1.3 million more, that means you're going to end up with only 400,000 in the fund balance as opposed to 1.7.
And do you get that? I don't want to make sure we move to the next issue. That's just a pure reversal of the numbers you have in front of you. Is that
so then that's the 400,000. So if you were to
I want to make sure that we've asked a question, and I don't want to move on to the next issue if there's still any confusion.
So this is Liz Johnson. So that's a reversal of column B1 on page 47, line 32, and on 48, line 34.
That's right. If you were to replace those with a zero,
so
that means
no
reduction.
Okay, and that gets you 400,000 positive.
Right.
Okay.
And just one other thing, in terms of the negative 900,000, if that's at the 1415, if you want to fund it at the 1415 level, if you want to fund it at the estimated 1516 level, that's when you get the negative 900,000.
I see. Okay.
Because you're going to add, there's $900,000 additional, actually $1.3 million of additional expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
That are projected.
Okay.
So, Judge Slaw, this is Stephen Nash again. I still wanted to, I'm not sure I got the answer to my question about what's the likelihood, what's the risk level that our experts feel related to the revenue not being what was identified here, and that it turns out that the fund balance goes negative this 15-16 year. What risk level, what do you give that?
Okay, this is Stephen Chang. I'll address that. If you look on page 45 again, so why don't we look at column C, row 5, and Stephen Nash was referring to the 50-50 excess fine split revenues, because that is the, right now, that's probably the most volatile over the past few years. It's gone from $72 million down to what we're estimating this year to be $23.4 million. And so Stephen's suggesting, wondering to what extent can it further decline, and by how much. We are projecting, if you go to column E, declining to $22.9 million. But let me speak first to the 1415. So right now, the 1415 estimate, this was based on what we provided to the governor for his January budget proposal, and that was based on 1 month of data that we got from court's report of revenues. Since then, we have 2 quarters of data to work with, 6 months of data, and the revenue projection really hasn't changed that much given our way we extrapolate from that data. We're still projecting about getting about 23, maybe it's a little bit less actually, 23.2 million or so for this fiscal year. And that's as much as we're going to get for the rest of the year because the third quarter RR is not provided until towards the end of the fiscal year. So based on that, we then extrapolate out to 15-16, and we run a number of different scenarios. And the scenario that is represented in column E, row 5, the $22.898 million, assumes that the pattern will continue in the average of the last 2 years. So the last 2 years, we've been seeing continued declines, but it's going to decelerate just a bit. It's really uncertain, Stephen, in terms of, could it be higher, it could be lower. I think the range we want to look at, it could be higher by, but I don't think it's going to be higher. It's unlikely given the current trends, unless there's a reverse in the trend, but we haven't seen that. If you look at the 50-50, especially criminal, continue to go down. But it all depends on the real estate revenues we know, and you know, there's been a real estate, another mini boom, because that had declined severely, but it's been going back up. So that's part of the equation. But I would say maybe the worst case scenario is that our revenues might be down another $1 million, say, Stephen. That would be probably the worst case. I don't see it going down more than based on our projections, by more than $1 million. That's probably the best I can say at this point.
Now, the concern I have, what you said, Stephen, that's very helpful. So if this year's revenue goes, instead of 23.384, you're saying now it's looking like it might be 23.2. That's 184,000 out of the reserves that we're talking about. And even if every other number is, assuming every other number stays the same, the $300,000 balance is now closer to 100,000. And so I just want everybody to be real clear that when we talk about 300 or minus 900,000, we're making some assumptions about the revenue, which I think I agree with you 100%, very volatile with a huge downside risk on some of these revenues.
So any other questions of Judge Herman or Judge Earle? And I think to your point, Stephen, if Stephen Nash, is if the bottom fell out of the revenues and we ended up not in the black, then our group would be kind of back to square one.
Right.
As well as if, you know, if the Judicial Council didn't approve some of our changes as well, we'd be back to kind of getting back together again.
Well, the difficulty on the 50-50 split, and it's been a problem from a budget standpoint for years, is that information, the actual final numbers on 50-50 don't come in until after the budget year closes. And it's been an accounting and budget problem for years, but, you know, basically it was theoretical when there was a reserve, but when there's no reserve and you're sitting here talking about, even if 300,000 was the right number, and I think there's reason to be very concerned about it, at the end of the day, you don't even know. It's such a narrow razor fund balance that we're projecting that we don't even know until like August 15th after the year the books have closed.
I share Steve's concern. It's almost like, you know, buying a brand new car knowing that, you know, those revenues or that paycheck may be not materializing. And that's a dilemma is, you know, from a prudent risk management perspective, you know, what is that sweet spot that we should be budgeting for? And I think, you know, I would rather take the most conservative, perhaps pessimistic approach, but probably the most prudent in, you know, say, you know, we're not going to be projecting 22.9.
So,
and just now,
go ahead.
I have another. This is Judge Herman again. You know, we are looking at the numbers based on the subcommittee meeting. At the actual trial court budget meeting, some of these numbers changed by votes, as I recall. Some of the allocations and some of the cuts that maybe we had decided to make as a subcommittee were not approved by the overall committee, which means these numbers are not quite accurate for what was ultimately approved by the budget committee. Am I wrong on that?
Which one would be helpful? Which ones are you referring to when you said these numbers?
You know what, I don't have them in front of me, and that's what I was trying to remember. It seemed like there were a couple of votes taken at the overall budget committee meeting that changed some of the cuts that were made by the subcommittee,
Herman,
which would change the bottom line.
Yeah, and Judge Herman, this is David Yamasaki. I have the same recollection. I know that the subcommittee's recommendation had targeted a certain number in terms of a reduction in the allocation, and it may be the dependency council piece, but it was not, it did not result in a change in the overall number. It's just a distribution or the apportionment that was not approved at that particular level. So that may be one of the pieces that you're referring to.
And it might have been TCA. I mean, and that was the Trial Court Trust Fund issue, not an IMF issue. But I'd ask Stephen, were there any number changes based on the – I don't recall the week ago Monday's meeting where the IMF values changed based on their votes.
I believe the advisory committee adopted all the recommendations of the subcommittee except for the two pending items related to V3 and the ICMS intermediate case management systems. But it did take action on the OPEB, as I mentioned, pending item, and they did is going to recommend to the council that it be funded by out of the trial court trust fund but paid for by the courts.
And that was what was assumed as to be a zero in the figures. So that is already assumed to be a zero expense on the IMF.
Right.
So the funds we're looking at, the fund condition statements and the recommendations are accurate in here after the TCBAC meeting.
Right, there were no changes. I remember that this is part of the complexity of all of this is that we talk about trial court trust fund versus improvement and modernization fund, and you know there were a lot of discussions of various programs, but we reflect everything as it was, and there were no changes to the IMF except for the two items that were withheld for reconsideration at today's meeting.
So let me ask the group this. Given the update that we heard from Judge Earl and Judge Herman, I'm going to ask the group what your thoughts are as it relates to reconsidering the V3 increase to the courts. And right now I'm just going to leave out the ICMS. I'll get to that in a moment. And also freezing everything at the 14-15 level, not including the proposed increases for fiscal 15-16.
Judge Slaw, this is Stephen Nash again. May I ask a question?
Of course.
One of the items issues that was brought up in the presentation by Judge Herman related to the fact that this doesn't provide if the cut occurred now for the coming fiscal year, that doesn't provide them enough time, the courts, enough time to make appropriate adjustments. How much time, if 3 months isn't enough, is there a time that had been identified that would be appropriate? And I say that because I'm concerned that if we say, well, let's just, everything stays the same this year because there's not enough time, and then all of a sudden we're here next year going through the IMF trying to figure out how we reduce potentially tens of millions of dollars. Is that the same? Is it the same issue? Wouldn't the same issue still apply next year? Well, we were assuming we were still going to have the money and there's no time to implement a change. So I guess the question is how much time would be needed for that kind of an action?
Judge Herman?
Well, first of all, this is just one factor in our analysis and in the feedback from the courts. I think with the idea that this issue is on the horizon, it would at least, if it's still floating next year, it would at least give the courts an opportunity to think forward.
I think
I can't really predict I can't really predict quote unquote how much time. I think the focus was just this is kind of late in the year for adjustment. And,
I think one of the distinguishing differences between where we find ourselves today versus hopefully where we do not find ourselves a year from today is the combined work of the Judicial Council Technology Committee and the Budget Committee to begin trying to immediately form the task force or the group, whatever you want to call it, that's going to be trying to prepare a solution to the problem. So we aren't here next year doing the same thing. And so I guess my point being is time is of the essence, and that combined group really needs to get on the horse and get moving towards solution now as opposed to later.
I would agree completely.
Judge Slaw, I have another concern. you know, if we just restore it, of course, we haven't really done our job, in my opinion. But aside from that, if you look at Judge Hedstrom's letter,
yes,
March 31st, I am concerned because one of the comments that's made both in his letter and I believe in Judge Hite's too is that they are paying this money for the sustained courts, and I'm assuming it's V3 also based on Judge Hite's court. They've asked for information to find out what it is exactly they're covering with the costs, and they're being told that they can't see what these costs are, and that's a concern to me. We're approving money for costs that no one really knows what it is who is receiving these services, and I'm specifically referring to the second to last paragraph of Judge Hedstrom's letter. So, you know, we keep restoring money to programs, but we're not really clear what it's going to. And I think that's a concern because we had talked about a 20% cut. How that 20% cut is allocated within the V3 or the ICMS programs would be, of course, up to the technology committee. But I think there needs to be someone looking deeper into what all these funds are going to. I mean, even the courts using it don't know.
I think that's an important point, and I think that's hopefully what the working group would be addressing, is getting actually what those numbers are per court, what the work includes.
Well, and I guess that's why I'm saying to just restore money when we've cut virtually every other program by at least 20% or more. I look at this and think, so we're saying, okay, you just go on at the 14, 15 levels when there may be fat in there that can be cut. That 20% may be 20% that can be cut, just like every court has had to do in different areas.
Judge Slough, this is Jim Herman. May I just add a comment? One of the difficulties here, and I forgot to mention this, one of the factors that we looked at, and this was not quite on point, Judge Harmon, in responding to your question. I think Mark Dustman would be in a better position to do that. But because particularly the V3 system was designed as a quote-unquote enterprise system, meaning the idea was that ultimately it would serve all 58 courts. It does have fixed costs that are probably more robust than they would be if the courts were buying one-off systems. But secondly, neither the sustained courts nor the V3 courts really have any control over what that cost element is, because it's a branch level cost, rather than, for example, a negotiation with Tyler Technologies where you've got certain set costs. On the point that you raised, Mark, do you want to address that?
Sure. Judge Herman, can I just comment on that?
You bet.
It strikes me, and maybe this is where we can get additional comment from who you're referencing, but so if this is an enterprise system and there are costs that may be more than they should be, I mean, isn't it up to AOC staff to determine where to make those 20% cost reductions? I mean, maybe it doesn't wind up back on the court. Maybe it's just there are services there that need to be cut.
Well, there's as I understand it, and again, Mark is probably in a better position to address this, but as I understand it, there are certain, in order to keep the enterprise system up and running and serving those courts, there are certain fixed costs that have to be addressed. And the point I think that I was making is not relative to those costs, but just the fact that the courts themselves don't have control over those costs because again, it's a single cost for all courts rather than being a court-by-court cost, if that makes any sense. And maybe Mark can explain that better.
Sure, Judge. So that's an important point. That and both you're correct. Both the V3 courts in their public comment and Lake made that point that they don't have control over the total program cost because they are part of a group rather than individuals. As far as you know, what is in the budgets for V3 and for the ICMS, the JCTC has worked with my office to go through in very minute detail what is in those budgets, and they have looked at the opportunities for reductions. The fact that the note from the presiding judge at Lake seems to indicate that they still have some question about what the costs are covered, I think is partly due to Ms. Levere's relatively short tenure. We have covered these costs with her predecessor. And in fact, the courts that participate in the sustained contract were party to those negotiations to begin with. So we're happy to go back and try to help that court, you know, understand more fully. We've just recently done that for Plumas and Madera, but we're happy to do that. I truly believe that there are no opportunities at this time to make any significant reductions to those programs. We've made reductions over the past several years, and we've explained to this committee and shown in detail that we're essentially at keeping the lights on for these systems. And so the courts understand that in that they get frustrated and want to make enhancements or new interfaces to local justice partners, and the program funding just doesn't support that. So these are at that level currently.
So, Judge Lau, this is Kim Turner.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's hard to do these things by conference call with this kind of technical information anyway. I'm just wondering if it makes some sense to try to separate, you know, like deal with the three issues that I think you very clearly identified just one at a time and see if we can reach consensus or on, you know, what to do with the proposed cost increases in V3, what to do, you know, with the recommendation to make a reduction in V3, and then separate that from the sustain ICMS conversation, because I think we're a little bit it's one foot in each pond, and it's making it hard to feel like we're making progress on the direction the committee is going.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Kim. Why don't we start then, and just I would ask the committee to focus on the first step, which is freezing the expenditures at the 14-15 level, and where everyone is as it relates to that.
This is Kim Turner. I would make that motion that at a minimum we must freeze the V3 expenses at the 14-15 level. We cannot incur an increase in the 15-16 expenditure rate out of the IMS.
I'll second that motion, Yamasaki.
All right, so the motion is to freeze at 14-15 the costs associated with, and I'm assuming, is that both programs, Kim?
Yes.
And the second was as to both programs, V3 as well as ICMS. Is that right, David?
Yes, thank you, Judge.
Any further discussion on the motion?
This is Judge Lee. This is a point of clarification. If we freeze it at the 14-15 level, then we will end up with the IMF having a fund balance of $300,000?
No, I don't think so.
$400,000 was the math.
$400,000. Because of the $1.7 million minus $1.3.
And I'll asterisk that with, obviously, so that would be if the revenue projections as they are were to come in perfect. We still... I think Stephen.
You're talking about the revenue projection being 22.8, 23, something like that?
Yeah,
22.8,
98, the 23.4, 14.15.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, I thought we
the indication was that it's probably not going to be, it's probably in the current year going to be less.
Mm-hmm. That was my understanding, too. This is Kim.
So a couple hundred thousand off,
right,
potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what got it down into the 300 or maybe even a little less range.
But the IMF will still be in the black, correct?
Well, I think when Stephen Nash went through that discussion, though, I thought it was indicated it may be closer to maybe being around 100 to 150,000 in the black.
Right. But still in the black.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be very close. This is Sean Landry.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, these are dangerously low levels.
Yeah.
Right. They're very close.
Dangerously, I think, is the word I want to use. It's just it's very concerning to be down to really, you know, the pennies in your sock
pennies.
Drawer.
Yeah.
My guess is Stephen Nash. My guess on the revenues, and I respect the heck out of the folks in finance doing this work, and I've worked with them for years. They won't know if they're in the black until probably August 14th or August 15th after the book is closed. They're not going to know, and it may have been later than that. With sometimes LA turns in late numbers and other because of their accounting system, and I don't know how you're going to be able to say for sure with any kind of certainty that it's going to be in the black, but. I'll let you look at it.
Yeah, the only other comment
I'd
make is that there could be some small savings where there were some, savings in contracts that we don't know about yet because they're still working through them. That could benefit us or disencumbrances from prior years, not on the scale of last year, but it kind of goes both ways, too, assuming every expenditure that we've booked will occur at the exact level that was also projected to.
Okay,
this is Sean Landry. Part of what we discussed at the subcommittee meeting was having enough money for other projects down the road and other projects that haven't even been conceived yet, and bringing it so low, so close. I just want to remind the subcommittee, we will not be able to have money to incubate any other new projects.
I don't think we are living in a world to incubate projects that we haven't even got to the table yet.
I agree with that. I agree with that, but that was part of our discussion to get to a place to do that. And obviously, it's not going to happen next fiscal year.
Right. I mean, I think our focus is just trying to stay at appropriate level of black as we can for right now. All we can deal with is what we have for this year, with some of the assumptions that are very precarious. So right now there is a motion to freeze at the 14-15 level the expenditures for both V3 and ICMS. That motion has been seconded. That leaves us in the black at a level at a maximum in the neighborhood of 400, and as discussed, something likely much less than that.
Can I get clarification, Marcia?
Of course.
Kim Turner said at the least to freeze the levels. Are we taking up the issue of whether we're going to do some type of one-time adjustment after this vote? In other words,
the
base allocation is X, but then do we want to make a one-time adjustment to it?
Judge, this is Kim Turner. My motion is simply has not yet addressed the other recommendations about reductions to those funds. It's just saying that we will not grant an increase to the funding level for at the 15-16 requested level. So, I think you're safe to say that we're not – my motion does not contemplate that this is the end of the discussion. Then we still have two other matters to take up.
Okay, very good. I just wanted to make sure of that.
Okay. So with that, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposition? So that motion carries. The 14-15 freeze on V3 and ICMS remain. So then the second issue I think we should take up next is the V3 portion as it relates to the courts participating in paying for, I think it was 20% of the costs of that. And that was the discussion at the Judicial Council Technology Committee that Judge Herman and Judge Earl spoke of a moment ago. So I asked the group, is there any motion, any thought, further discussion on whether we should reconsider that component? I'm still carving out the ICMS. We'll get to that next, just the V3 portion.
So this is Kim Turner, Judge, and so I think my comment kind of relates to the both of the remaining components. I think that there is a difference between the V3 courts and how Judge Herman, you know, described the blood, sweat, and tears, the many local dollars and so forth that went into really developing the system. I was, you know, very involved in that. I was on the council when all that was going on. I know those courts put a lot of energy and effort into it, and we're certainly very much out of pocket on that. This is a different time. The arguments about, well, they're, you know, not getting much in WAFM, and so far, you know, all those other comments about WAFM and the 1% reserve, I mean, we're all struggling with that. But at the end of the day, I think there really is a difference between the discussion we should be having about the V3 courts and the discussion we should be having about the ICMS courts. And I think the distinction is the level of local effort, for me anyway, the distinction is the level of local effort that was made by the courts that are in V3 to build and to, you know, essentially develop that system. So having said that, I guess my recommendation would be to leave the V3 funding level alone for this year, and I say that with a great deal of concern about the fund balance in the IMS fund, but I do understand that it is pretty late in the year for those courts, for any of us, to make mid-course adjustments. Having said that, I will be recommending or stating my opinion that I think the ICMS court should take a funding reduction, and I'll tell you my reasons for that when we get to that item.
Judge Slaw, this is Stephen Nash.
Uh-huh.
So I think I'm prepared to make a recommendation that would be an adjustment based on the conversations that we've all had, make a motion, I should say, and that would be that assuming that these numbers, so it's a contingent motion. I'll discuss it before I try to put it into words. So if the fund balance at the end of the fiscal year when the books are closed is over $300,000, then I kind of hear what, given the situation that we're in, then I would say at this point no cuts for 15-16 based on all of the presentation and information that's been provided. However, if the fund balance is less than $300,000 or if the revenues projections are less for next fiscal year, then do half a year of cuts, so half the cuts that we had projected or had originally recommended, meaning that it would be a half a year of that. So it would go into effect January 1. Everybody would have plenty of time to address that and identify that in their budget, but it also would keep the fund balance positive, because at the end of the day, if the fund balance goes negative, this is all academic. There's going to have to be more cuts, but it'll be at the back end when it's almost impossible. Mm-hmm. My motion would be, if the fund balance is over $300,000 at the end of 14-15. Then no cuts, and I'm sorry, if the fund balance is more than $300,000 at the end of 14-15, and the revenue projections remain unchanged or better than identified, then no cuts to V3. Otherwise, that half of the cuts that we had originally proposed which essentially half year, so it's saying no cut for 6 months, but January 1, then the cut would go into effect.
So, Judge Slough, this is David Yamasaki, if I can just speak to that. I certainly understand the precarious condition of the IMF, and I am very supportive of the basis for Kim Turner's remarks about the necessity of recognizing the V3 courts and the investments that they've made, et cetera. But I'm also concerned about isolating this specific project as a program that will be partially funded and would be earmarked for ongoing reductions if the revenues don't hit their marks or if other things negatively occur. And as you said it, Stephen, we're going to have to look at all of the different activities depending on what's out there. So I have a little difficulty singling this particular piece out. I think the argument has been made by Kim that it's a critical piece. Everybody has this issue on the radar, and there is a necessity of convening technology and the budget folks to look at a long-term strategy. And I'm very hopeful that that could produce some course of action for those courts without, you know, identify them exclusively with that approach. So that's the concern that I have about the latter portion of what you had said.
So this is Kim Turner. So, Stephen, can I just ask for a point of clarification? So if we're making half the cut, then we're essentially saying the cut would be at the 10% level for the V3 courts if the revenues don't come in as expected and if the fund balance is under 300,000. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
And let me clarify. Stephen Chang was suggesting that that meant that the 15-16 fund balance was coming in. So you're saying how it rolls through to our 15-16 projection, right? Not that our 14-15 level.
No, I'm saying at the end of the 14-15, we're counting on a razor-thin
We're expecting $4.7 million to be the fund balance, but obviously if revenues go down, that means that the 15-16 fund balance is getting to that next year.
Yeah. Yes.
If you look at page 20's fund commission statement in the materials.
This is Jose Guillen. One clarification for Steve. Stephen, are you still kind of suggesting that we maintain the watermark? So, in other words, that what depends on the reduction and the amount of that reduction is really is based on how much fund balance we're going to have, right?
No, I'm just saying it's contingent, so there is no cut if it turns out we're still positive and we're going to end up, there's no adjustment, we end up with the fund balance as projected at, and thank you for the correction, at the end of 15-16 we're still assuming we'll be at plus 300,000 based on the revenues that have come in, then no cut. I get it. I mean, we are where we are, but If the revenues do fall, if they don't come in as identified, and we're going to end up with a fund balance that's less than $300,000 in 15-16, then half a year cut, which would be the 10% level.
So let me. I want to clarify 2 points, just to make sure I'm tracking correctly. Your motion, Stephen, only applies to the next fiscal year, correct?
That's right.
Okay. And then the second part I want to clarify is, are we're still talking about whether or not the courts would pick up a percentage versus IT picking that up?
So I am very intrigued in what Judge Harmon was saying, and I think that there should be some examination. So I think that at the end of the day, we're saying there's a cut, but the committee should also look at, does it all go to the courts or does it come out of the program? And I think that's something that's a very appropriate thing to look at. So I'm not going to say it has to come out of the courts.
This is Liz Johnson. Another clarification. Stephen, you're not just thinking about if the revenues fall short, but you're also thinking about if the savings don't, if any potential savings don't materialize such that the fund balance is not where we think it is, right? The trigger would be the fund balance.
It's the fund balance.
Okay.
It is the fund balance. So if the fund balance, the projection for the fund balance at the end of 15-16, I'll just simplify it now based on the comments that were out there. If our projected fund balance falls below 300,000, then there would be the 10% cut to the program.
Stephen, this is Judge Harmon. What if it's a, is there a way we could take a different approach to that? In other words, indicate that we would do a 10% reduction initially, and then the another or do some portion of that, and then if the funds are there, then that 10% can be restored if the costs are there to the court. That gives time for the courts to adjust. It gives time to see what the fund balance is, and it gives time perhaps to look at maybe there is a way to cut 10% at least out of this.
I'm not sure I follow, Judge Harmon.
Okay, so if we do, if we were to say right now, okay, we've given a 20% reduction, and say instead, we'll instead indicate a 10% reduction at this time. So we'd initially say a 20% reduction, but ultimately a 10% reduction. If the fund balances turn out that they will be over 300 or 400,000, whatever number you want to put on it, and in the meantime, we have a chance to look at whether or not those cuts really need to be absorbed by the court or can be absorbed somewhere else. It could be that those funds then could be restored if the funds were there in January. If they're not there in January, then at least we've gotten some of the cut in there that we need to keep the IMF alive.
So the default position on the motion that I made was that there is no cut unless, and you're saying turn that up, just turn that over and say the default position there is a cut unless there's funds.
Right.
So this is Sherry Carter, and I apologize. I am extremely late to the discussion. We had a critical court meeting, and so I apologize. But I would like to steer the discussion to having the Judicial Council IT taking the cut for this first year and not looking at the courts for the first year so that they would have some time to adjust to the reductions. And so I do think that there is probably room in that huge IT budget where they could take the cuts if there needs to be cuts this first year.
Well, you're recommending
I agree.
How much of a cut, Sherry?
So Stephen, would you clarify your motion?
So, and I can't recall. Did I have a second, Judge Lau?
No,
okay.
No, you did not.
So,
I think Stephen, you hadn't really formulated your motion. You were trying to lay out a discussion first, I thought.
Okay, so the motion is. If the projected fund balance if the projected ending fund balance in 15-16 goes below 300,000, then a half year cut to the V3 amount that was identified, so a 10% level cut, and if the fund balance is over 300,000, then there is no cut.
I would be okay with that motion as long as it was not the courts that paid the first year. and that the Judicial Council staff would be asked to find it within their own budget.
You're going to second it if I agree?
Yes, I would second it if
right.
you agree.
I agree with that.
All
so,
right.
Can I ask a question? This is David. Yeah,
yep.
So, Sherry, is there some background information about the budget and the capacity for those cuts to be either imposed or...
Absolutely none. I just think that that there might be opportunities there, and if there's not, they'll have to find opportunities. If we're looking for a reduction, and if the courts, let me put it this way. If we're asking the courts to take the cut and there's just very few months left this fiscal year for them to adjust for next fiscal year, the same would be true for Judicial Council staff, and their IT budget is significantly larger. So I would propose that I haven't seen their budgets. I haven't seen the budgets of the V3 courts either. But I just believe that if we really have to take the cut, it should be from the, for the first year, it should be from the Judicial Council's budget.
And this is Steve, and the reason that I agree with that, and also it's somewhat consistent with what Judge Harmon was raising, is partly because having been a budget cutter for, 20-some years now, given the size of the budget, I completely agree with Sherry. Given all of the other cuts that every other program has sustained, there has to be an ability to identify additional savings. And when you look at the total improvement fund, you look how much of it is going for technology and how much of it is the program, there has to be an ability to absorb that amount. And we'll be happy to help in that work if that's part of the work of the committee.
So we have a
vote. This is Judge Harmon. I agree with that as well. This was a consistent conversation in our subcommittee meeting for 2 days, is that, the cuts maybe need to be absorbed somewhere else other than by the courts, which is something has been a consistent theme. So I agree with Sherry and Stephen's comments on that.
So we have a motion and we have a second. And the motion is that it would be cut by 10% if the balance fell below 300% or $300,000, and that cut would come out of JCIT funds, not out of the individual V3 court funds. Is that your motion, Stephen?
It is.
All right. Any further discussion before I call for a vote?
So, in effect, Judge Slough, we are granting reconsideration.
That is correct.
And this is the new motion. Okay.
And again, this is not dealing – that's okay. We still haven't got to the next level, which is the sustained courts. So, Stephen, you were going to say something else?
Yeah. Could I request Stephen Chang or Zlatko's thoughts on the motion?
In terms of the ability of the program to take the reduction, while there are always opportunities to do something, I don't know, a 10% reduction, you're talking about a 10% reduction in the funding for this. I'd have to say to Mark, what does that mean? If he's going to reduce services, then services to the courts will be impacted by that, I presume. If we all had just 10% sitting around, then why did we budget that in the first place? So, I know the budget's sitting there.
So, Zlatko, this is Sherry. It may also be possible, though, that something could be deobligated at the last moment, or that, there may be other opportunities we don't know about.
Right. And that's what I think we spoke to, and I don't know when you got on the phone, we talked about whether or not there would be any disencumbrances at the end of the year. If there were, we try to capture those as we've had nearly monthly meetings with IT about tracking their budget and their contracting. I don't want to put Mark on the spot, but I think that I don't want to speak for him per se about what room is in a budget. I think it'll come with some consequences as does any budget reduction. So
that's the case across the board.
Right. That's the case to the individual V3 courts for certain.
Mm-hmm.
So, Judge Slough, this is Judge Earle. Could Mark Dussman address that point that was just raised in terms of what would the impact be on the V3 services if there was a 10% reduction to his budget?
Mark?
Yes, Judge. So I agree with Lotko that the impact will definitely be on the level of service that is provided to the courts. We do five-year budgets, and the first part of the decision you've just made is to recommend keeping the budgets at 14-15. For this particular program, our estimated cost for 15-16 was greater than 14-15. So the program itself is already faced with figuring out how to make that reduction, and now you're suggesting an additional reduction. And as I've said, this program, and to Sherry's point that, you know, this is a court versus a JCTC or a JCIT issue or a JCIT budget, you know, to us, the budget's there for the courts. We don't do things unless the courts want them and understand what those costs are. And so in this particular case, I would say that it would definitely affect the service to the court. Some of the costs right now, most of the costs, are sunk costs. They are a set amount that we can't change to keep the V3 application running on a day-to-day basis. Where we have some flexibility is in how fast we fix bugs or problems with the system, or whether the courts can wait on their legislative changes, and it's the number of contractors that are supporting that particular program. So that's what it'll come down to. I can't tell you exactly what it'll be, what the impact will be, but you know, if you give us a particular reduction, we'll do that analysis and we'll inform the courts of what will change on our ability to deliver that particular service.
So, Judge Earle, this is Sherry. May I respond just slightly, because maybe my comment wasn't quite as clear. I didn't mean that the Judicial Council IT staff had to take the 10% just from the V3 budget. I meant from their IT budget as a whole. So, for example, I do know that for CCPOR, there's no more money to expand courts. So, for example, and I don't know if this is true or not, Mark, so this is just an example. If there were consultants that were to help future courts come online, maybe those consultants should be let go to pay for the V3 next year. So I'm not saying it should come from the V3 budget, but from the entire IT budget.
I understand that, Sherry. And your example, I think the difficulty is easily portrayed in the example you gave. This committee's already reduced the CCPOR budget from what was requested, and it's based on the contractors that we had put in place to do expansion of CCPOR. You decided that there wouldn't be any expansion of that program unless there was grant funding. So I think we've gone through the process, and so it is going to – I think we're to the point now where – further reductions, as they are every year, will definitely impact the services provided to the courts.
So this is Stephen. At the end of the day, just to refresh everybody's memory of what the motion is, it's contingent. So we're saying the default is no cut this year, in 15-16. But if there is not sufficient money, then and we're saying $300,000, which is a razor-thin projected budget, but if there's not at least $300,000, then there is a cut to the improvement fund, the mod improvement funded budget of IT. But the default position is there is no additional cut,
and that it would come out of the IT budget versus the individual courts.
Yes.
Okay.
Judge Slough, this is Judge Earle again. Can I just address Zlatko and or Stephen Chang with the question that Stephen Nash posed a few moments ago, and that is, from a fiscal perspective, a bookkeeping perspective, if there's any difficulty in making this mid-year adjustment or any authority that they would need to do that?
To take it to the council with that contingency, and we would then indicate to them that that would be what would happen if the revenues came in. It would just, we would be working with the program and know that if their allocation needed to be adjusted, once the final numbers came in, that was what would be the, you know, would be a trigger, sort of like a trigger cut.
And the trial court budget advisory committee could review that in as soon as the numbers are final in the fall?
Well, certainly we would be bringing this sort of as a status update as to where we are and what actually came in with the revenues for both the Trial Court Trust Fund and the IMF.
Thank you.
All right. Any specific questions? Otherwise, I'll move for the vote on the motion. Not hearing any. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, the motion carries. So our final item would be the sustained courts and whether or not to include a 20% charge to the sustained courts and whether or not we should reconsider our prior vote from our March 10th and 11th meeting. So I open that issue up to the floor, please.
So, Judge Flau, this is Kim Turner, and I mentioned earlier that I thought that there was a difference between the V3 courts and the sustained courts. And the distinction that I want to make, fully appreciating that every court is struggling right now, is the distinction that these courts, the courts that signed the letter dated March 20th, which I think represents, I don't know how many courts are in the ICMS program, but this was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, not 9 of those courts, most of which are very small courts, are, I guess, having their technology hosted by Judicial Council, CCTC staff. And so, therefore, the fact that they are having their CMS hosted is no different than many of the courts like mine that are I'm having the county host my case management systems, and that's a service for which I have to pay every year. And I want to make that distinction because I think it's an important one. Many of these small courts are you know, getting additional funding through the funding floor that's available in WAFM, and in some cases it's a fairly significant amount. And some of these courts may not be eligible for the funding floor and may be perhaps in a more precarious position. But nonetheless, everyone has to pay, everyone that isn't in, you know, getting their case management system hosted at CCTC has to pay for the hosting in whatever fashion they do locally. So I suggest that the 20% reduction in ICMS is an appropriate reduction. And for any of the courts that simply cannot figure out how to finance paying their share of the reduction out of their budgets, you know, they can use the other procedures that are in place, if it puts them in such a precarious position that they can't move forward, they can go for supplemental funding next year. But I think we do need to start to move that conversation along about shifting that responsibility back to the trial courts.
Any other comments or questions?
This is Judge Earl. Can I have Stephen Chang, could you clarify what that 20% value is? Because I know that initially we thought it was $249,000, but that seems to be in discrepancy. Can you clarify what that is?
So you want to know what 10% of the 1415 allocation level is?
20% for ICMS.
You want to know what the 20% value would be? Is?
Yes.
Okay, so it would be 20% of 1.2468 million. Let me calculate that. 1.246. Yeah, so that is correct. 20% of 1.246 million is 249,000.
So, Judge Earle, this is Sherry. May I explain a little difference, I think? And, again, coming in late, I don't mean to get us sidetracked, but there were two things that I think we need to understand about the sustained courts that's a little different than the V3 courts. The Revenue and Expenditure Committee made two decisions. One was to hold all of the costs at the 14-15 level. That was approximately 600,000 less for both the V3, and Mark, correct me if I get any of this wrong, but my recollection is, and I'm not in my office, is that for the V3, they needed about 600,000 to refresh equipment, and for the ICMS courts, they needed about 600,000 because there was one-time savings in 14-15 that are no longer there. Did I get that right, Mark?
You did, in addition to them doing the refresh as well.
Okay.
So there were two factors for sustain, but you have the numbers correct.
Okay. So for the decision of keeping V3 at the 14-15 level, there was 600,000 by that decision that Mark said he needed to do a refresh. So we've moved on from V3. Now we're at sustain. The 249,000 level is to hold them at the 14-15 level, but their $600,000 increase was because there were one-time savings in 14-15 that are no longer there. So, Mark, you said part of that is for a refresh and part of it was one-time savings. Could you split out what of the $600,000 is the refresh cost?
The refresh is only a small portion. Most of it is due to the one-time savings that we were able to achieve last year.
Okay. So would you say it was $100,000 is the refresh? I'm just saying it's hard for me to treat them differently than the V3, knowing that there's less, little time for the courts to adjust. It isn't a big amount at the 249, but when you add on the 600,000, it becomes larger, right? So
yeah.
Of the 600,000, is 100,000 refresh cost or is it 200,000? What is it?
Sherry, I apologize. I don't have that number in front of me, but it is a smaller portion. And so I think your estimate's fine. And I agree with you that we have shared with the sustained courts the subcommittee's recommendation earlier and explained that, really what the program is facing is not a $249,000 reduction, but closer to an $800,000 or $900,000 reduction. And so that's what the sustained courts have reacted to in their public comment and in other notes that have gone back and forth. But I don't think, other than the fact that they're smaller courts and there are more of them, that the circumstances are any different than the V3 courts generally.
So let me ask a question of if they're still with us, Judge Herman, and I think you're still with us, Judge Earle. When we talked about putting together the combined working group for purposes of V3, would that also be addressing the sustain issue?
Judge Earle, mind if I start out answering that?
No, go ahead.
I think it absolutely should. And just let me just bring up a point relative to the sustained courts. The V3 court solutions, both go forward and in the immediacy, were complicated to a significant degree. And in terms of us addressing both V3 and then sustain, we elected and told the sustained courts that we would get to the V3 issue first, and then we would work with the sustained courts. So we have not at this point had time to work with the sustained courts, but the sustained courts have been patiently waiting for us to get to their project. And And so that's sort of a thumbnail background and where we are with the sustained courts in addressing that issue. So they should definitely be part of ongoing discussions so we can coordinate between budget advisory and JCTC.
Judge Earl?
I agree with Judge Herman. I do believe the joint working group should include a discussion with and about ICMS, with those courts and about ICMS. And I think it is important for the group to understand that for the last year, the discussions that JCTC has been having have been with the V3 courts because it was a bigger dollar value and they wanted to tackle that first. So they really have not yet had discussions, maybe preliminarily discussions, with the 9 sustained courts. And so I think when this body made its recommendation a few weeks back, it was caught the ICMS courts by complete surprise because they had not been part of the discussion. So I want folks to understand the kind of the history of that.
And I concur, that is the history.
All right. Any other comments or thoughts or ideas from the group? I suppose we probably need to think about whether if we back off of the original recommendation from the March meeting, where does that put us in our fund balance? And Stephen, can you talk to that? Stephen Chang.
Oh, I'm sorry, Judge. Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, so if we back off of our prior recommendation as it relates to ICMS, where does that put us in our fund balance for the IMF?
Okay, so in conjunction with your previous motion on the V3, that would be neutral because if the fund balance is less than 300,000, then the IT office would cover the cost. For ICMS, you would increase your recommended allocation by 249,000, which would reduce the fund balance by that amount, 249,000.
But I want to remind us again that of the decision we made to hold them at the 14-15 level, 600,000, if you subtract 100,000 for refresh, 500,000 was one-time savings. And if the rest are true costs, then what we're saying is that 500,000 also needs to be found within the Judicial Council IT budget. And that would be, you know, somewhat consistent with what we did with V3, but then you still have the 249,000 that was the 20% cut that originally was going to go to the courts. So that would be a total of 749 that the that we're dealing with.
Can someone point me to that? I'm looking at page 48, line 34. And I'm not seeing the 500,000 or 600,000 that you're talking about, unless you're talking about the enterprise.
You know, I'm not sure. I'm unfortunately not in my office. I called as soon as I could from the meeting I was late at. That 600,000 was projected for next year as a cost increase that the Judicial Council IT staff asked for. We denied that when we said, no, we're going to keep you at the 14-15 level. And when I subsequently, somehow I was told, and I thought we were all told, that the 600,000 increase for the sustained courts or the ICMS courts were one-time savings. I think Mark indicated that at our meeting. It was one-time savings, not refresh, not equipment refresh costs like it was for V3. And so that's why I want to point that out, because if they're true costs and not refresh costs, then they're unavoidable costs. In other words, you can't, yeah.
Sherry, it's Mark, and you are correct. I misspoke earlier. I got Virginia and David Kuhn here, and it is entirely, there is no refresh money in the 15-16 request. It was entirely from the savings from last year.
Judge Slough, this is Jose Guillen. May I make a motion that we apply the same
approach that we did with V3, notwithstanding the difference between ICMS and V3. But I feel comfortable from a just, you know, fiscally perspective to treat ICMS and V3 the same.
And so your motion would be identical to Stephen Nash's on V3, save and except it would be related to ICMS, that
yeah,
it would be a 10% cut if the balance drops below $300,000, and
correct,
that if that occurred, that would come from IT, not from the sustained courts.
That's
is
correct.
That, okay.
This is Judge Marigondo. I'll second that motion.
Judge Slav, this is David. Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Of course.
So, as I understand it, to maintain the existing level of service for the sustained courts, there would have to be an outlay of an additional $700,000-$800,000, correct?
$849,000.
And if we're following the same action regarding the V3 courts, there is no additional increase that would be is being moved at this point to pay for what was previously covered by savings, correct?
That's my understanding.
So there is who makes up the difference then? Is it the JC IT group, or do the courts using it get a bill to absorb the ongoing costs of using sustain? The cost is what it is. Somebody's got to pay for it. And I just want to make sure that I'm clear on what the source would be.
I think Jose's motion would be that Judicial Council IT staff would find it if his motion is to treat him consistently with the V3 courts. That's how I interpreted it, but perhaps Jose could clarify.
No, that is exactly my same motion, that it would be treated the same, and then it would be absorbed within the entire IT budget. And that puts pressure to look at other options available, whether it be finding some other hosting approach to from CTCC. But
let's
be optimistic, and if there's plenty of revenue coming in, we won't have to trigger the 10%.
Kurt, were you going to say something or ask a question?
I was just going to make note of the fact that, you know, IT worked with CIOs for months on trying to look at all the costs that are associated with everything that was IT. And through all that exercise, basically what was identified was about $1,600,000, which had already been identified that dealt with jury royalties. So I'm concerned about, you know, the discussion here. We're saying just take cuts. And there's just, you know, numbers being pulled out of the air. And I am concerned about the implications for, you know, IT's ability to support courts.
Well, this is Judge Behrman. I think we've all been in that situation in our own courts as well. I understand your position, and it's terrible for all of us. It's just, I think we've all had to do this. And you can't have, as Stephen Nash said so long ago, you can't have a negative fund balance. You can't have it. There's no such thing.
And I'll tell you one. Go ahead,
sorry, if I could just clarify. I think I misspoke earlier. So currently, assuming that both V3 and ICMS are funded at the 14-15 levels, meaning for V3, about 5.7, and for interim case management systems, 1.2. The ending, projected ending fund balance right now is 300,000. If you're going to reduce the recommended allocation for ICMS, then that would increase the fund balance beyond 300,000. So for any reduction you want to take to the 1.2 million, it's going to increase the fund balance by that amount.
But, Stephen, what we're talking about right now does not do that. What we're saying is that the costs that would have shifted to the courts would come out of the Judicial Council IT budget. So there would not be a change, a net change to the savings.
You guys are talking about two different things, I think. Stephen's just talking about the projected budget. Sherry's talking about if the fund balance falls below and we have to take that cut, where it would come from.
And yeah, and as Mark suggested, that he would look at those programs that are funded, that the allocation would be funding, to see about reducing the service levels.
Right.
To those programs. That's the approach. V3, V3 reduction, V3 program adjustment. Sustained budget reduction, sustained program reduction.
Right. I think we're ready for the vote.
Okay. Let me just make one comment before I call for the vote. Thank you, Judge Johnson. And
yep.
That is, I don't know how accurate it is or is not, the comment in Judge Hedstrom and Ms. Levere's letter that they still have not seen a breakdown of what the costs actually cover. And again, I'm making no comment as to whether that's accurate or not accurate. But what I do know is, you know, the 20% that we came out of was a number that I think we felt appropriate, but we didn't really have a good factual foundation to support that that's the right number for each and every one of these courts. I believe what the motion would allow the combined work group of tech and budget to do is to get to what an appropriate number might be should we be dealing with this same issue next year. So with that statement, I will call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposition?
No, David.
One vote in opposition. The motion passes. So I think that takes care of the items on that we were called the meeting for. Sherry and or Judge Earle, any other thoughts, comments, or am I leaving any part out?
I do have one question again because I'm late and I apologize. We are just focusing on next fiscal year. We did not have any. There's no dialogue at this meeting or decisions that we need to make for years after next fiscal year, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
And I just want to confirm with everyone that the next step for these recommendations would be to present them to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee at our next meeting, which will be probably sometime in May. And then present them to the council in June. The other IMF recommendations we made will go to the council in April, but we do not have time to meet the open meeting requirements to convene a budget advisory committee meeting before the next council meeting. So these will go to the budget committee in May and to the council in June. Is that your thoughts as well, Zlatko?
Absolutely.
Okay. And I just also want to confirm that Judge Herman will be taking his recommendation to the Judicial Council meeting in April. Had the group held to its original recommendation, I would have felt that I needed to appear and make comment at that meeting, essentially opposing his recommendation. I don't think with the group's decisions today I need to do that. Does anyone feel differently?
I do not.
Sherry? I agree with you, Judge Earle.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that.
But are you going to be available to the council in case there are questions?
Yeah, I will be at the meeting already presenting on our other recommendations, and I will make sure that I'm there during Judge Herman's presentation on this issue.
Perfect.
Judge Earl, do we know, this is Judge Maragonda, about when in May the budget committee, the full committee will be meeting?
I do not know yet. I'll have to work. We always back it away from the council meeting because we have these timing requirements, and I'll work with Zlatko in setting that up.
Yeah, I would ideally have it be after the last couple of weeks. I know it's tight of May, especially since the May revision will be coming out on the 14th per statute. Unless it's a Saturday or Sunday, and then they do it earlier. But the May revision is on the Thursday. We would know about the governor's update to the budget. We would have that information to work with.
So that's a good point. We always do it after the May revise comes out.
So, all right. With that, any other questions of Judge Earl, Judge Herman, Sherry, or anybody else?
I do want to thank all of you for setting aside your time today on such short notice to revisit this issue. I also want to thank Judge Herman for being on the call and Mark Fessman as well.
Well, likewise, these are all difficult issues for all of us, and thank you for the thoughtful work of this subcommittee.
I think it's great we're talking with each other.
It's important. All right. Well, thank you all very much, and we will see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.